Today's Shi'ur Masechta Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin. We begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid. Says the Mishnah Beleza Oimer. Beleza teaches us Arba Esri Sudas Chayv Adam Lecha B'Sukkah. Beleza's opinion is that a person has to eat in the Sukkah 14 meals, Achas B'Yoyim V'Achas B'Layla, one every day and one every evening. Chum Oimer Decham disagree, and they hold Ein L'Davar Kitzvah. There is no specific number of how many meals you have to eat. Chutz, b'leil yontav rishon shechayv bavad, except for the first night of yontav, when the first night of yontav, you have to eat a suda, you have to eat a suda in the sukkah. So here Rabbi Eliezer teaches us that you have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah. And there's two questions that are connected. One is, the Mishnah says that you have to eat 14 sudas, but really, it's 15 sudas, because during Yontav Sukkos, there's going to be at least one Shalosh Sudas, and if there's one Shalosh Sudas, so we know on Shabbos we're obligated to eat 3 meals. So over 7 days, it should be a total of 15. Why does the Mishnah say that the total is 14? And the other question is, as of course we know, Yontif begins at night. So if Yontif begins at night, then the first Suda should be at night. What does he say? Achas b'yoyim and achas b'layla. So one of the ways to answer the question is that when he speaks about the 40 meals, he's speaking about 40 meals, not including the first meal. The first meal, as we see, the Rabbanan just said the same, that you have to eat the first meal of Sukkot in the Sukkah. It's a whole different halacha. So when Rabbi Eliezer is starting to count, he's starting to count from the first meal on the Yontif Sukkot, because any meal that you eat at night has a whole different halacha. And that's why the number 14 works, and that's why also we start with the day. There are other explanations that I saw, because the Shalosh Sudas that you eat on Shabbos Sukkos will be instead of the night meal of the next day, of Sunday, whatever day of Sukkos that is. So you will have 14 meals, even though they will all be eaten, even though you eat 3 meals on Shabbos, the night meal will be eaten by day, so you get the 14 meals, even though, of course, you have to eat Shalosh Sudas. The Chum hold Ein L'Davar Kitzvah. There is no halacha of a minimum amount of eating in the Sukkah. Rather, what the Mishnah means to say is that if a person wants to eat, he has to eat in the Sukkah. But if he doesn't want to eat, he could fast. And since he could fast, if he doesn't eat at all, that's why he doesn't have to eat. In the Sukkah. Of course, the Paiskim discuss this halacha quite extensively. The halacha, the Laila Rishon, the first night you have to eat the meal in the Sukkah. So the Paiskim say that the halacha follows the opinion of the Chachamim. And just like the Chachamim hold, Inam Pesach, you're obligated to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. There's a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah on the first night of Yontif. On the other days of Yontif, one can refrain from eating bread altogether, and he won't have to eat in the Sukkah. So according to Rashi, very clear, that on Yontif Sukkot, you don't have to eat bread, and therefore only the first night is obligatory to eat in the Sukkah. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim already ask that the Gemara Masechta Brachos, that Mem Tes on the base teaches that in Yontif one is obligated to eat meals with bread. So how could the Gemara suggest over here that, how could we suggest, Rashi says, that in the first night, only the first night are we obligated to eat? So Taisus, the very masculine boy, says exactly what the Mishnah means to say, is it's only that the Gemara Masech the Brachos only is referring to the first night of Sukkot and Pesach. All other Yontif meals, Taisus suggests, need not consist of bread or Pesach or matzah. Many Rishonim disagree with Taisus, and they hold that everybody, there's an obligation to eat bread by every suda of Yontif in honor of Yontif, as is Pasha Pshat in the Gemara of Sechta Brachas. But if that's the question, how do we understand what we just learned? So Ran explains that to fulfill the chiyuv of eating of covered yontif, you could fulfill that requirement just with a kazayas of bread. What the Mishnah means to say here is that yontif, I only have to eat a kazayas of bread. However, when it comes to eating bread in the sukkah on the first night of yontif, there I have to eat a kebeya. Therefore, some paiskim hold that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah on the first night of sukkahs unless the person eats more than a kebeya. Others disagree, and they hold that just like everywhere else, when the Torah speaks about eating, the Torah always means a kazayas. Here too is a chiyuv of kazayas, and they bring a raya, because as we learned and we're going to learn, the obligation to eat bread the first night of yontif, sukkahs, comes from the obligation of Pesach, and just like Pesach, there's a chiv to eat a kazayas matzah, by sukkah there wouldn't be a chiv to eat more than a kazayas bread any as well. Another pshat, what the Rosh explains, is that there are two halachas. There's a hilchas sukkah yontif, and there's a hilchas yontif halacha. The hilchas sukkah yontif halacha teaches us that in the first night of yontif, everybody's obligated to eat in the sukkah, and he's obligated to eat bread in the sukkah. When the Gemara says that the rest of Yontif is not the, when the Mishnah says that the rest of Yontif is not the Sa'im, what it means is that on the first night of Yontif, if it's raining, we still have to eat in the Sukkah. The rest of Yontif, as we're going to learn, if it's raining, we're not obligated to eat in the Sukkah. And in fact, Tosfos Masechta Brachos says that if somebody on the first night of Sukkos is not mekayim the mitzvah of Yontif, if he doesn't eat bread in the sukkah. And that's why Tosfos says that let's say it was raining and raining and somebody ate inside, and then it stops to rain, he has to eat a meal, he has to go out to the sukkah. But let's say somebody ate the sukkah meal, the Yontif meal outside the sukkah, and then it's raining, he's not obligated for that to go out again and eat. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah, and Siman Tafrei Shlametes of Katna Chabei says that a person l'chatchila should eat a kebeya of bread the first night of Yontif. And so too is the opinion that on the first night of the Mata Ephraim, that the halacha is that on the first night of Yontif Sukkos, one should eat bread in the sukkah. That many poskim suggest that when he eats that bread, he should eat a pure bread. And also, as we've discussed in previous shurim, when he eats that bread, he should have in mind l'man yedu d'arasechem, to remember what is the purpose of our sitting in the sukkah on yontif. V'adam Rav Elazar. Then the Mishnah teaches us another halacha: mishloi achol b'leil yontif arishin. If somebody missed eating on the first night of yontif, yashlam b'leil yontif achron shachag, he could make it up on the last day of Yontif. The chamam ein ladavet tishlumim. If you missed it, you can't make it up. V'alzeh nemar, muvus lo yuchol iskoin, v'chisaron lo yuchol amanos. Sometimes there are mistakes that can never be corrected. So we're learning now that you make up the meal on Shmini Atzeres, according to Rabbi Elazar. So the Mishnah obviously was written in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, there's a question: do we sit in the sukkah? We're going to Mitzvah Shem learn. Do we sit in the sukkah? Do we not sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? In Eretz Yisrael, nobody sits in the sukkah. So now there's a machloikus rishonim, where according to Belezer, you get an opportunity on Shmini Atzeres to make up the meal that you missed. Could that be made up? Does that have to be made up by sitting in the sukkah? Or, that's the opinion of Tosfos, Rashi says you can make it up even in sitting in the house. Because according to Rashi, the main point is we want to make up the meal that you missed. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rebelezer. Rebelezer says that you have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah over Yontif Sukkos. Where does he take that halacha from? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, B'sukkos teish v'shivas yomim. So the Torah teaches us, it should be ke'en tedura, that teish v'ke'en tedura, ma'dira, just like somebody who lives somewhere, And when you live at home, you eat achas b'yoyim, achas b'layla. People normally eat one meal by day and one meal by night. Af sukkah, so too, when we speak about the sukkah, achas b'yoyim, achas b'layla, there should be one meal by day and one meal by night. Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan, who obviously the Mishnah that we just learned, are of the opinion that we don't have to eat two meals every day, 40 meals during Sukkot. How will they explain this pasuk? Kedira, ma'adira, at home, ibay ochel, ibay lochel. A person doesn't always eat. He's allowed to eat, but he doesn't always eat. Sukkanami, so too the Rabbanan say when we speak about the Sukkah, ibay ochel, ibay lochel. He doesn't have to eat. He may eat, but he's not obligated to eat. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the opinion of the Rabbanon, that because it's just like at home, so afilu leil yantav rishish nami, even the first night of yantav, one should not be obligated to eat in the sukkah. And we just explained that the Rabbanon agree that in the first night of sukkahs, one must eat in the sukkah. Omer answers the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim, Rabbi Shimon ben Yetzadik, Nemakan chamisha asa. Regarding sukkahs, the Torah uses the word chamisha asa. Nemar, the first night of Pesach, you have to eat matzah. Afterwards, you're not obligated to eat matzah. You can't eat chametz, but you're not obligated to eat matzah. Afkan, here too, by Sukkot, Laila Rishon say the Rabbanan Chayva, it's an obligation to eat bread in the Sukkah. So we're learning Sukkot from Pesach. But ask the Gemara, how do we know that on the first night of Pesach there's an obligation to eat matzah? Amakra, the pasuk says, "Berishim ba'abasu yom l'chodesh be'erif toich l'matzis." Hakosuf kava chavoy. The Torah says that one is obligated to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. And to elaborate on this, as the Gemara does in Masechta Pesachim, daf kuf chof amar aleph, one pasuk says, "Shivas yom toich l'matzis," and another pasuk says, teaches us the Gemara that the pasuk, the second pasuk that speaks about Yom HaShvi, separates it out and is to be understood as a davishayu b'klal, that something was in a group, v'yosem l'klal alamen, and then it was taken out of the klal, loy l'lamen al atzma yotza. It's not only teaching about itself, alamen l'klal yotza. It's one of the shloishes and midrits that the Torah and the Drashas ban that many say every morning. So first the pasuk said, shivus yom toichel matzis, that it was part of the 7 days. But then the Torah separated out by saying, to teach us that on the seventh day, one, if he wants to eat matzah, if he can't eat chametz, but he's not obligated to eat matzah, so too is the halacha for all other 6 days of Yontif. So from here we see that the obligation to eat in the sukkah is only in the first night of sukkah. And therefore, Tosfos, Divrei Maskil E, discusses that what could one eat at the other on the rest of Yontif. He says, according to Tosfos wants to say, that the only thing one is obligated to eat on Yontif are meat and fruits, but they don't have to eat bread. And therefore, Tosfos says, if somebody did not say Yalav Yavoy by Birchas Hamazon on Yontif, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon, because the halacha is that when does one repeat Birchas Hamazon if he missed something? It's only if he had to eat that food. For example, on Shabbos, if somebody misses saying Ritzei, he has to repeat Birchas Hamazon, because on Shabbos we're obligated to eat bread. On the other hand, on Rosh Chodesh, if somebody ate bread and didn't say Yal V'Yov in the Birchas Hamazon, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon, because we're not obligated to eat bread. And so too, Tosfos says, would be the halacha on Sukkos, that only on the first night of Sukkos is there such halacha, not for the rest of Sukkah. But Tosfos, in Masechta Brachos, Daf, says differently. And Tosfos there says, that in the Maskil E, that the entire Yontif, one has to eat bread by your meals. That's part of the chiv of Sudas Yontif. The only difference, Taisu says, what the Gemara means to say is that on Sukkot, the first night when we eat in the Sukkah, it's a din in the Sukkah. It's a Hilcha Sukkah the Gedin. On the rest of Yontif, it's not a Sukkah the Gedin, it's a Yontif the Gedin. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody missed eating bread on the first night of Yontif, he can make it up on the other days of Yontif. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Belazar, Arba asasudas chayv adam lechel besuda. Sukkah. A person is obligated to eat 40 meals in the sukkah. Achas b'yoyim v'achas b'layla. So it says very clearly that those meals have to be eaten in the sukkah. So how could the Mishnah now suggest that they could be made up, that you could make up those meals on Shmini Atzeres? Says the Gemara, Amma Bira, Bira was the name of a person, Amr Rabba Mami, Chosma Rabba Lezer. Rabba Lezer retracted, and he now holds that you can make it up even on Shmini Atzeres. But the question still remains, how could somebody make up on Shmini Atzeres something that is a chiv to be done on Sukkot? So, therefore, the Mashal explains the Gemara differently than we just explained. What the Gemara means to say, Chosma Rabba Lezer, is that Rabba Lezer retracted from the obligation to eat 14 meals on Sukkot. And now he holds that you only have to eat one meal on Sukkot in the Sukkah from the Hilchas Sukkah. We have to eat other meals because of the Yontif din. And those meals can be made up in the on Shmini Atzeres Chutz L'Sukkah. Another pshat is that he reversed himself only regarding the halacha of the 40 meals. The first meal he has to still eat, and now he's reversing that since you don't have to eat the 40 meals, there's no requirement for makeup because you didn't have to eat more than the first meal. Another pshat is that you could eat less than the shear. And the halacha is, since you can eat less than the shear, then you can, and be yoitza the mitzvah, and that therefore you could do even on Shmini Atzeres. So here we see that you can make it up that Rabbi Elazar reversed himself from the obligation of eating. And only time you're mechuyev to eat is on the first night of Sukkot. And that's why, by that halacha, the halacha is we make a leisha b'sukkah. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is if our Gemara is connecting the halacha of Sukkot to Pesach, so why and the only time we're obligated to eat in the sukkah is on the first night of Yontif, and so too is the halacha regarding Pesach, as we explained, that the only time we're obligated to eat matzah is on the first night. So why do we find such a very fundamental difference between Sukkot and Pesach? That by Sukkot, every time we go into the Sukkah, we make a Leisha B'Sukkah. And by Pesach, we only make the Bracha of Achilas Matzah on the first night. So I saw Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman says that really one, as we explained in previous Shurim, could get away without eating all of eating in the sukkah, all of sukkahs, besides the first night as we're describing. He won't eat bread, but he can't get away without sleeping. And as we've learned many times, sleeping, according to the Gemara, is certainly obligatory on Pesach. Not only is it obligatory on Pesach, it may be more obligatory than the chiyuv of eating. Because the Gemara says, Shema Yiradim, you may fall asleep. Just Chazal, when they made the Nusach HaBracha, they didn't want to say a bracha of sleeping, so they decided to make it a Leisha B'Sukkah. So the Leisha B'Sukkah is not primarily for the eating, because we're not obligated to eat. It's like matzah on Pesach. The Leisha B'Sukkah is primarily for sleeping. And therefore the question would be very obvious. If somebody only eats in the sukkah and he doesn't sleep in the sukkah, and the bracha is primarily there because of the sleeping, how does he make the leisha b'sukkah if all he's doing is eating? There's another question. Here, we're learning that the first night we eat, the other nights were not obligated to eat. So now when it comes to matzah, we're learning from matzah. When it comes to matzah, there's an obligation to eat matzah. So there's a mitzvah on the kezayis matzah to be eaten. The question is, when we have to eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, is that an obligation on the individual? Is it an obligation on the food? What would be the nafkamina? The halach is the matzah gezula. If somebody, chas v'shalom, stole matzah, you cannot use that matzah to be mekayim mitzvahs matzah. If we'll say that the bread that we eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs is the same, so if somebody had bread that he stole, then he wouldn't be able to be yoytze the mitzvah of achila sukkah. But if it's a din in the gavra that I have to eat in the sukkah, but it's not a din in the bread, of course one should eat. Of course one should not eat something stolen. But if you ate that type of stolen food, stolen bread, you will mekayim the mitzvah anyway. Here there's an also discussion that we see. We discussed this in a previous year when we learned Masechta Yuma. The question is, could you be Yoytze Shal Shudas with food that is not bread? That means there is no question that you can't be Yoytze the first two Sudas on Shabbos. You must have bread. The question is, can you be Yoytze the mitzvah of Shal Shudas with not just having bread? The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph Sif Hei says that you have to have bread. He says, however, if there is no bread available or it's difficulty bread, you can be yoytza with mezainis, and then he says maybe even with fruit. But most paiskim are machmer, and the reason the machmer is as we see in our Gemara, because our Gemara says that whenever you have to eat a suda, you have to eat bread. And therefore, without bread, you're not Yoytze Shal Shudas. And similarly, that we know that Baruch Hashem, we have a chasen kala, we say sheva brachas. The halacha is one cannot say sheva brachas even if you have a minion if they did not wash and eat bread. Mashlam b'mai, ask the Gemara, if we're saying that if somebody missed eating a suda, he can make it up, according to Belazar. How? Ilayim b'rifta, that you're going to eat bread on Shemini Atzeres. Ask the Gemara, suda de yom kochel. We're anyway obligated to eat bread. Says the Gemara, elamai yashlim b'mina tagima. That means after you finish the meal, then you should eat some fruit or something extra that you would have not normally eaten. And therefore, since you could use it that way, the halacha is that's why you could do it for hashlama. And again, very much connected with what we just discussed. You could only use it, as the Gemara is describing, as a hashlama, as a makeup. But you can't use that type of a food to be mekayim the actual mitzvah. Tayinam hachi, im hishlim b'mine tagima, if you missed a meal in the sukkah, the way we learned to make meat specifically the first night of Yontif, you can make it up, b'mine tagima yotzu, you yotzu making it up. Says the Gemara, shal apotropos, shal agrifus ha-melech serbeleza. The apotropos, the administrator of agrifus, asked Rebeleza, k'goin ani, someone like myself, she'eni rogalel achasud achas b'yoyim. I always only eat one day, one meal a day. Mash yoyach suda achas, is it adequate that I should just eat one meal a day on Sukkot v'efter? And as Daruch Lenoir explains, we learned a few moments ago, that the reason Rebbe Lezer says you have to eat two meals a day every day of Sukkot is because teishvuk ain't a dura. So if Rebbe Lezer's point is teishvuk ain't a dura, so teishvuk ain't a dura is what I always do. I never eat more than one meal a day. So here too, one meal is enough. Or the other hand, we say that once Chazal said that we have to eat two meals a day, so it's a raya, we have to eat two meals a day. So from here we have a raya, say the Rishonim, that when the Gemara said Chazbar Rebbe Lezer, it did not mean that he walked away from the halacha of eating of being obligated to eat 40 meals on Sukkot? Because otherwise, what would be the basis for this question? I did see that there's someone who suggests that this question was asked to Rabbi Lezer before he was chayzer, before he retracted. Amaloi, to which Rabbi Lezer responded, every day, you may not eat two meals a day, but you eat all different types of food that you enjoy. So now on Sukkot, yes, you are not a person that normally eats two meals a day. But since you normally eat all different types of food that you enjoy, so if you do something for your personal enjoyment, if Hashem wants us, if the Torah wants us to eat two meals a day in the Sukkah, even though it's not what you're accustomed to, that's what you ought to do. Void Shalom, and then the Gemara continues. Kigoin ani, sheyesh li shtei noshim. I have two wives, ach betzari b'ach betzipori. Sheyesh li shtei sukkos, and I have two sukkos. Ach betzari b'ach betzipori. Mao sheitzim esukkah l'sukkah. Am I allowed to eat and sleep one day in this sukkah, and the next day in another sukkah, after, and I will be yoitzim et sukkah. Amaloi, so Rabbi Lezer said loi. If somebody leaves one sukkah to go to another sukkah, according to Rabbi Lezer, one is obligated to have only one sukkah. And here too, the Aruch HaNer explains that the basis for this opinion of Rabbi Lezer is because of Teishu Kein Teduru. So if you say Teishu Kein Teduru, so this person has two homes. If he has two homes, he should not have to sit in, he should be allowed to sit in two sukkahs. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Lezer is learning that it's not because of this Aruch Laner, that it's not because of Teishu Shkein Teduru, but rather what it means to say is that the Torah wants us to have a sukkah and to have one sukkah and only one sukkah, and has nothing to do with the way you do or don't live all year round. And even perhaps if you don't live that way all year round, on Sukkot, you're obligated to have one sukkah and be connected specifically, and to be connected specifically only to that one sukkah. Tanya, says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Lezer Oimer, Ein Yoytzim a sukkah. A person is not allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah. You're not allowed to eat one sukkah and then eat in another sukkah, or eat in one sukkah and sleep in another sukkah. Furthermore, Vein Soysin Sukkah B'Chalamayt, we're not allowed to construct a sukkah in Chalamayt. So, of course, the Rishonim ask, obviously, if you could only have one sukkah for the entire duration of Yontif, so it's too late to build a sukkah on Chalamayt. So the Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is like this. If you have an individual who started Sukkot in one sukkah, certainly such an individual may not move to another sukkah during Sukkot. But let's say you have a person, for whatever reason, was not sitting in a sukkah as Yontif commenced. And now Chol HaMoed comes, and he wants to build a sukkah. But this is the only sukkah that he's going to sit in for the duration of Yontif. Still, since the sukkah wasn't built for all 7 days, teaches us that if the sukkah wasn't built for all 7 days, Rabbi Lezer says that you're not yoytzer. Another pshat that the Sfasemis says that if somebody started sukkahs in one sukkah, and then, as we learned now, he built another sukkah during Chol HaMoed. The Gemara's discussion is that the first, you're not yoytze mitzvah sukkah even when you sat in the first sukkah. The Chum disagree, and they hold yoytze mitzvah sukkah. You are allowed to sit in more than one sukkah over Yontif. Voice in sukkah b'chol shemayid, and you're allowed to make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Of course, only under situations that meet Hilchus Chol HaMoed. One is you may not be kiva malachta b'mayid. You can't be an individual that you deliberately planned to build your sukkah on Yontif. You're not supposed to do that. Also, on Yontif, Chol HaMoed, when you build, it has to be in a malachas hedjit, not in a professional manner. And therefore, that's the only way the Rabbanim would allow you to build a Sukkah Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, however, Rishavin, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Elazar agrees, Shem Nofla, that if you built a proper Sukkah at the beginning of Yontif, and then that Sukkah collapses, Shechoyzer Bonav Chol HaMoed, you could build the Chol HaMoed. So now the Gemara analyzes the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Elazar. What's the reason for Rabbi Elazar? Omakra, the Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah is Tassel Choshivis Yomim. A say Sukkah, the Torah is teaching us, you should make a Sukkah, Harui L'Shiva, that's there for the entire 7 days of Yontif, and not that it should be a Sukkah that you started building in the middle of Yontif, or go from one Sukkah to another. Rabbanan, how do they explain? Hachkam Rechmona, this is what they explain the Sukkah. A say Sukkah, B'Chag. You can make Sukkah at any time during Yontif. Just the opposite. The question is, I saw the Panim Yofa says, what is the basis of the Machloikus or Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham here? It goes back to what we learned on Dafyur Aleph from the base, where the Gemara quoted Machloikus or Rabbi Elazar and Bekiva, what is Yontif Sukkot commemorate? Rabbi Elazar says it commemorates the Anane HaKovid, and the Chacham hold it commemorates the sukkahs, mamish, the huts that they sat in. So according to the Chachamim, who said that it commemorates the sukkahs that they sat in, so they didn't always sit in the same hut during all of their years in the Midbar. And that's why you're allowed to go from one sukkah to another sukkah. But whereas, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says that sukkahs commemorate Anane HaKovid, they had the same Anane HaKovid enveloped them for the entire time they were in the Midbar. And therefore, you could only have one sukkah. We also learned, the Shavin, that everybody is in agreement. Shem Nofluf, the sukkah collapsed. Shechoyzer Bainer Yosef Echol HaMoed. We could rebuild in Echol HaMoed. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. He has to have a sukkah. Maritema answers, and you're really rebuilding your sukkah. Answers the Gemara, Maritema, hi, Achrita. Though when you rebuild the sukkah, it's not the same sukkah. It's a new sukkah. Kamash Malon, that since this was the sukkah that you built with, and this is the material that you built with, and this is, I'm combining pshatim and many mefarshim, and this is the sukkah that you began Yontif with, so that even though it unfortunately collapsed, when you rebuild it, it's not considered a new sukkah, it's considered your old sukkah that you rebuilt. So I saw a very interesting question. There were two people that bought a property together, and there were two homes on the property. One was a very large home, and one was a small home. But when they wrote the contract, that they wrote that one of the partners will get the big home, one of the partners will get the small home, but if any of the homes get destroyed, then when they rebuild their homes, they both will get equal share for homes. And the walls of the home, of the large home, started to collapse and decay. And he went and he took the material to rebuild it. So he said, this partner said, I'm just rebuilding what was there from before. And if I'm just rebuilding what was there from before, it's not considered that I built something new. And it shouldn't be a problem. The contract should not go into force. The other one said, you're building a whole new house. And they wanted to bring a raya from our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that if you rebuild a sukkah, and as we said, if you rebuild it specifically with the same material, it's not considered something, a new sukkah. So the Shas Tshuvas Meshiv Dover, Chelek Gimel Siman Aleph says, it's not the same. Because he says that certainly if you're rebuilding a house, it's not considered the old house we built, it's a new house. The Vart in our Gemara is a different Vart. Rabbi Elazar in our Shir has been talking about you're not allowed to move from one sukkah to another sukkah, you're not allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. So as far as those Hilchas Sukkah halachas are concerned, as far as those Hilchas Sukkah halachas are concerned, yes, that's not considered building a new sukkah. But that's a specific Hilchus Sukkah halacha. But it isn't a halacha regarding everything else that we're talking about. Regarding everything else that we're talking about, it's considered a totally new home. So I saw a very interesting tshuva from Aaron Levine, the Reish Rav. He says there was once a question where there was a couple that got engaged. There was a shatchan, a matchmaker, who helped this couple find each other and get engaged. And then they broke up the shidduch. And then the couple, through the help of this original shatchan, reconciled and were ready to get married. So the question was, now, is this considered a new match and he deserves shatchanis? Or is it considered just the old match that was rebuilt, that just came back? So he, unlike the Meshiv Dover, says that it's certainly considered just a continuation of the original shidduch. And since it's only considered a continuation of the original shidduch, and he got shatchanis by the first shidduch, he's not deserving to get shatchanis again. Tanya, Rav Elazar Omer, Shem Shein Adam Yotzi Dei Chavos Beyon Tarishin Shel Chag, Belulava Shel Chaveroi. When one cannot be mekayim the mitzvah with taking somebody else's lulav, the ksiv, as the pasuk explicitly says, v'lekatal chem b'yom rishon priyetz hod the kapus tamarim, and we learn from the mishalachem, you have to own it. So too, kach ein adam yotzi dei chavasoi, you can't be yotzi mitzvah sukkah b'sukkaso shel chaveroi. The ksiv chag asukkas tasl chashivus yomim. The Torah is very explicit that mishal ucha. The sukkah has to belong to you. So the question is, if the sukkah has to belong to you, does that mean that every person has to build their own sukkah? So if you'll have a family with a number of men, does that mean that every man in the family has to build his own sukkah? So I saw the Nefarshim go back to a klal that we have discussed many, many times in our shiurim, and that is that teshvu kein tiduru. The operative rule of sukkahs is that aspi teshvu kein tiduru. So just like at home, an entire family sits together, so too is the halacha on sukkah. The Chacham disagree, and they say, Api sh'amra ein adam yotzi dei chavasa b'yot derishin b'lulava shel chaveroi. We're going to learn sugyas. The Torah requires that the dal minim be lachem. Av yotzi dei chavasa b'sukkas shel chaveroi. The ksib, because the pasuk says, Kol ha'ezrach v'yisrael yesh b'sukkas. Melamed, shekol yisrael ruin l'yesh b'sukkachas. All of Kla Yisrael could sit in the same sukkah. And since all of us could sit in the same sukkah, it can't be that we all own a decent amount of in that sukkah. Because even if we were going to build this very large sukkah that could fit all of Klal Yisrael, there wouldn't be enough for each one of us to have a decent amount of ownership. And I saw that the Shemus Shmuel says that the lesson of sukkahs is the lesson of achdus. That's why the Gemara here teaches us that Ruin Kol Yisrael Leisha B'Sukkah Achas. All of Klal Yisrael could sit in one sukkah. And he takes it a step further to explain a very famous minig. He explains that many people have the minig that on sukkah, that we take the dalaminim, and they take the dalaminim in the sukkah. That's why they make the bracha when they al tilas lulav. Why? So he explains that the dalaminim we know represent the achdus of Klal Yisrael. That the different minim represent the different types of Jews. And now we're saying, the Gemara just taught us, that Klal Yisrael ruin leishu b'sukkah achas. So if that's the case, it makes very much sense that if Klal Yisrael ruin leishu b'sukkah achas, that we should all sit and say, we should take the lulav, the dalmina, which represents the achdus, with sukkahs that has this very important lesson as well. Rabbanan asked the Gemara, what do they do with lecha? My darshibay, b'boyle lemutik gzula. That one cannot sit in the sukkah that's gzula. Avashula, a borrowed sukkah, ksiv kala ezrach. everybody could sit in the same sukkah. And there are many definitions I saw, what does a sukkah gzula mean? One is that if somebody was sitting, if somebody went and forcibly forced somebody to move out of the sukkah that that person owns, and that I should be able to sit in the sukkah, even though it's, of course, highly inappropriate, I'm yotze the mitzvah. The next case is where I stole wood and schach from someone else, and I used them to build a sukkah. The halacha is that the sukkah midaraisa is posel, it's a sukkah gzula. However, the Gemara many times speaks about takonas hashovim. Chazal, the Torah says that if somebody chas v'shalom steals from someone else, he has to return what he stole. So if somebody's going to steal a beam and build it into his home, the likelihood that he's going to return that beam is quite low. He's not going to want to demolish his home. So Chazal said it's enough to give the value of the wood. And if that would be the case here, even though somebody stole the wood to build the sukkah, he's going to, if he gives back, or he intends to give back, he's yoytz to the Mishnah. And then there's a case where somebody took a sukkah, completely constructed sukkah, and moved it from where it was to his property and wants to use it. That's a sukkah gzula. Reb Lozen, hi, kol ezrach. What does he learn from that pasuk? My avidlei, the boy lei, he comes to use it for a different halacha. The gershon is guy ben a time. Let's say somebody became a ger during sukkahs chol moed, or kotoshin is katal ben a time, or somebody became bar mitzvah during sukkahs. And we've been learning that Reb Lozen holds that the sukkah has to be a sukkah that's a 7-day sukkah. This isn't a 7-day sukkah, because it only became a sukkah when he became a ger, only became a gadol. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, we don't need a pasuk for that. Kivin Shamru, since according to Rabbanan, their opinion is that oisin sukkah b'chol shemoyd, that we even allowed to make a sukkah mil chol shemoyd, so obviously you don't have to have a sukkah that's a 7-day sukkah, so for that I wouldn't need to have a pasuk. So it's a very interesting shaila. The Shal Shuvas Ksav Soifa Eirichayim Simon Tzadik Test discusses the Shaila. What's the halacha if somebody during the Sfira became Bar Mitzvah? Does he count the rest of the Sfira with a bracha? Because what he was, even if he was counting before he became Bar Mitzvah, that isn't the chiyuv of counting, because he wasn't a gadol. And if he's not a gadol, he's not mechuyev be mitzvahs. So we see, says the Ksav Sofer, maybe from our Gemara, we see that you could start a mitzvah in the middle. But the Ksav Sofer says that's not a raya. But he says that, it's first of all, it's only according to Reb Elezer. And number two, what's the Ksav Sofer trying to say? The Reb Elezer needs a special pasuk of Kala Ezrach. If I wouldn't have that special pasuk, I couldn't rely on what was done before to what's done afterwards. And therefore, says the Ksav Sofer, maybe according to Reb Elezer, the halacha would be that he cannot begin counting in the middle of the Sfira. The Rabbanan clearly disagree with Reb Elezer, and therefore, according to Rabbanan, one could start count, that child could continue counting. That means the Ksav Sofer says, if this boy did not count before his bar mitzvah, and now he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the Sfira, he can't start counting. What we could be lenient with is that if he was counting before, he could continue counting after he becomes a mitzvah and not discount what he was counting beforehand. So now the question is that we're learning here that the sukkah gzula is possible. The question is, if I use, the Chashuki Chema discusses this question, could I use somebody's wool to put a sukkah on? That means, let's say I have the wall of my home, and then my neighbor's wall, and I'll make a sukkah by putting the schach across the top of the walls. So he says that we have a klal that nichalei le'anish, the 11 mitzvah money. So even though I didn't get proper permission, which of course I should have gotten, but since I didn't get proper permission, but since we know that people are anxious that to help other people do a mitzvah, then the halacha is that I don't, even if I didn't get explicit permission, then it's okay. Certainly, he ever says that even though we assume that every Jew would be happy to help another Jew fulfill a mitzvah, if the other Jew is protesting and he's saying, I am not agreeable that you could use your wall for my sukkah, then you may not use that wall for the sukkah. And it's very possible that if you did use that wall for the sukkah, you're not mekayim mitzvah sukkah that way. He went to greet his Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar in Lod, Beregel, on the first day of Yontif. Amalai, ain't chemishayisrei regel. You're not a person who's going to be fulfilling mitzvah sukkah properly. She Rebbe Elazar Omer, b'shabeich anisa atzlonim, I very much praised people who are lazy. She ain't yoytzim v'tein beregel. They don't leave their homes on Yontif. Mechlal, that the ksiv, v'samachta atav esecha. A person is supposed to be home with his family, and you're not. Ain't he? Ask the Gemara, is it true that you're supposed to stay home? From where do we know that there's a chiv to go greet your Rebbe on Yontif? Because the pasuk says that the husband of the story was with the Isha Shunamis. There was a woman from the city of Shunam that Elisha would come to that city. He would always stay there. And this woman didn't have children. And because Elisha was appreciative to this woman, he gave her a bracha that she would have a boy. And indeed, that's what happened. But a number of years afterwards, the child died. She didn't tell it to her husband. She wanted to go to Elisha to discuss what just happened. So her husband asks her, why are you going to visit Elisha? Yontif. So, of course, the question is, the Pasuk is speaking about Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. So, how do we know that that halach is on Yontif as well? So, the Mashah says that Yontif is certainly no less than Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. And if Shabbos and Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, we have to go, so too is the halach on Yontif. The Noid of Yehuda says that indeed one would have to go every Shabbos to greet his Rebbe, but it's just very difficult, and that's why person doesn't have to go on Yontif to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi. The Noid of Yehuda furthermore says that this Chiv is only a time when there was a Leil Regel. So when there was a real Regel, so we went to see Hashem, and we also went to see a Rebbe. B'zman hazeh, where there's no Leil Regel, there's no Chiv to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi Beregel. It would be, if anything, a wrong thing. You're not showing the proper respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the Noid of Yehuda points out that this halacha is not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch, as we know, only speaks about halachas that are relevant b'zman hazeh. Says the Noid of Yehuda that this halacha doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. And Shabbos and Yontif, and so now the question is, why is Rosh Chodesh mentioned? And what's so special about Rosh Chodesh? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that women don't do malacha on Yontif. Men do malacha, or don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Men do. And the halacha of Hagel Pnei Rabbi Beregel is directly connected to when you're obligated to when you don't do work. So she said to his wife, it's not Rosh Chodesh. In Rosh Chodesh, I would understand you're going to greet him. But why are you going to greet him now when it's not Rosh Chodesh? And it's a work day. Like, so we see that but on Yontif you are supposed to go. So why does it say, Meshabeich anis atzlonim? Answer the Gemara Loikasha. Hadaz vos v'yomri. If your Rebbe is nearby and you could go greet him and get back, great. If it requires a longer trip, then stay home for Yontif. Tana bar Masa Rebbe Elazar, Sheshavas begolo elyon, besukah Shem Yochim bereloi, bekisri. He stayed in that sukkah in Kisri, v'amalei bekisarian. He gie chamel sukkah, it started to beat down. Amalei masha efesh alasadin. Can I put on top of it a piece of material to protect us from the sun? And the question was, is this considered as if you're building on Shabbos? Amalei ain't kol shevet yisrael lehevin meni shevet. So he diverted him, because as we're going to learn, he never said something that he didn't hear directly from his Rebbe. Chigiyecham l'chatzi sukkah. And again, Amar, they asked him, Amar le Masha Efrish Aleh Sadin. Amar le Enlecha Kol Shevet Yisrael Shle Yotzmen and Neviim. Shevet Yamin Yam, Shevet Yehuda Min Yamin, they didn't have Neviim, Hamidu Melachim had kings, Alpin Neviim, and they were appointed through the Neviim. It's already hitting his feet, Shevelezza. Notl Sid Neparshala. His Shevelezza's Talosala Cherev. He put on his coat, Vyotza, that people should not say that he holds you may do so. Says the Marloib Nesha Fliga B'dvorim. It's not that he wanted to just bother him and not give him an answer. He always never said anything that he didn't hear directly from his Rebbe. However, the Sfasema says that's only as long as his Rebbe was alive. Once his Rebbe was no longer alive, he could say halacha even though his Rebbe is not alive. Moreover, he didn't say any idea because the Sefer Chassidim says that wouldn't have been true. He didn't know an answer, he just wasn't ready to give it. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Aver Hachi, how could there be a question that he did this? That he started Yontav in Lud, and then he went to another city. Vom Rebbe Lezer, and Yotzim is Sukkah Sukkah. Koit Rebbe Lezer, we could only have one Sukkah for the duration of Yontav. Answers the Gemara, regular Achavah. It wasn't the same Yontav. And that Yontav, he spent completely in that Yontav, in that different city. Ask the Gemara, Vom Rebbe Lezer, Mishabech Nitzat Slonim, Shein Yotzim B'tayim B'regel. They stay home for Yontav, so they could be together with their family. Says the Gemara, this story happened on Shabbos. The question was, could you put out a piece of material, an awning, on the schach on Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, Tish Shleim of the day. We learned at the end of the Masechta Shabbos, that Kuf Chof Hei, that now Pekakas Chaloin, they used to have a wood, piece of wood that they used as a shutter. Rebbe Lezer Omer, this man, Shukosher, if it's tied to the wall, Vitali and suspended from the ground, Piking Kabah. Only then can it be used to put into the window. Mimlav ain't Piking Kabah. V'cham Omer, Benkach, whether it's tied or suspended, Piking Kabah. So we see there Rebbe Lezer holds that you can't just put something on top of something on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Hossam or the Mevatel. There you intend to keep the shutter there permanently. Avhocha, Tloy Mevatel. He's taking it only for while it's sunny. There, Rebbe Lezer would agree that, of course, of Hilchos Shabbos, loy, it's not a problem.